This morning we continue our fellowship. I hope that the brothers and sisters will try your best to be open to understand this word. It's not just merely to understand it, but to practice it. If we have not seen what the word of the Lord says, then there's no way for the Holy Spirit to lead us into the experience. Although the concept is very important, we don't have the concept, then there's no way for the Holy Spirit to enter, to lead you into the reality of that truth. So we all need our hearts opened unto the Lord. Don't just think that what you have learned in the past 20, 30, 50 years are all right. It's not possible to be entirely correct, because we're still in the process, in the progression, in improvement. Oftentimes we see things incorrectly, or that we do not see very clearly. Do not think that we understand everything. Truly, do not do that. We need to be open. Otherwise, there's no way for you to go forward spiritually. If you think that you are correct in everything and you know everything, then there's no way for you to go on. May the Lord be gracious to us, that we would have an open spirit, that we would be poor in spirit. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." If you think you know everything, why would you come here for a conference? Don't waste your time to come here. It's okay if you don't come. But the danger is that you would stop others from practicing it. Then this would be even worse. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, "You yourselves cannot enter in." Perhaps it's still okay if you don't want to enter in. But what's worse is that, what do? You also hinder others from entering in. Isn't that even worse? If you don't want it, it is your business. But if you want to hinder others from entering in, what should we do with that? This is what religion does. If you don't believe, and you do not believe yourself, and you also stop others from believing, you don't believe in God, and you will kill those who believe in God. That's why we all need an open spirit. There's an old brother. Before he passed away, he told the brothers and sisters, "Oh, I have seen through all the mysteries in the Bible." Do you believe this kind of speaking? Can you fathom all the riches of God? Do not believe that kind of a saying. We all need to humble ourselves in our hearts to come before God. I want to be able to see clearer and clearer. As the days go on, I want to discover more of our God. Just like the scientists, they thought they discovered, wow, this thing. But there's much more. They thought they already saw the atom, but then they didn't realize that there are more atoms within the atoms. There are things that are more minute than what is so small. And there's also something greater than what is already great. Man cannot fathom God's creation. The more you go into research, you realize that the less you know. Only those half-witted scientists would think that they know everything. Those who don't know God think that they already know God. If we have such an attitude, your spiritual life cannot go on. You would remain at a still stand. That is not good. You will suffer spiritual loss. And you would also cause problems. Perhaps you may think that, oh, this is something new, oh, an offering. This is just a method. It's very probable. But at least we begin to offer up our offerings. You don't even want to start. Even before it starts, you are in fear that it will become a ritual. So what profit is it to you? Before you go to school, then you're afraid that you will fail, so you don't want to go to school. Isn't that right? Then don't do it, because you will fail. Then you won't do it. What I mean to say, you have already fallen into a ritual. You cannot progress. You will just be stuck there. Do not be afraid. Whatever is of God, we need to enter in. Once we enter in, we should not remain at a still stand. We need to continue to go forward. Do you think that the offerings are not in the scripture? If they are in the scriptures, then we need to do it. Are you afraid that experiencing Christ becomes a ritual? If experiencing Christ as all these offerings become a ritual to you, then this is a very good ritual. Isn't that right? Right? That is why, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Learn. And improve. You need to improve. You need to ascend. Didn't we have the songs of ascent? If you do not ascend, then there is no way. Perhaps some people say, oh, we are talking about ascent, but we are descending. Then that's your problem. It's not the problem with the songs of ascent. But if others want to ascend and you drag them down, then what? So Christian, are you ascending or descending? Ascending. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. Thank the Lord. Let's all ascend together. If someone wants to descend, you have to pull him up. Help him to ascend. Do not allow him to drag you down. If someone wants to drag you down, then you say, I'm sorry, I want to ascend. I want to go upward. I do not want to go downward. I want to ascend. May the Lord continue to bring the churches upward continually. Do not think that the songs of ascent are just a conference. Then I won't come again. From now on, I won't want to come again. We have the songs of ascent, and you don't want to ascend, but you want to descend. Then why should we have a conference concerning the songs of ascent? Isn't that correct, brother? Now I need to ask you, have you ascended at least one step or two steps? Isn't that great? Even if it's half a step, at least you have gone upward half a step. But if you would descend after the Songs of Ascent conference, then I would not be able to face God. I won't be able to face God. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. So do not just listen to messages. Remember what James said, you need to be a doer of the word. Once you know, now let's practice it. Let's practice it. Let's learn. It's okay if it's gradual. We cannot go too fast. But we have to try our best to learn and practice. Do not say that this is a kind of a pressure. Is there pressure or stress in sin? It's also a kind of stress. It's Satan that's stressing you out, putting pressure on you. Now, to be holy. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't tell me to be holy. That's too much pressure on me. Oh, you have to offer up sacrifices. No, no, no. Don't give me much pressure. Don't pressure me. Who is pressuring you? is not that someone exerts pressure on you, but it is someone who does not want you to do that. And it's Satan. Is it actually pressure? Tell me. Everything is pressure and pressure. Then let's not read the Bible, because it's a pressure also to read the Bible. And to have a morning watch is also pressure. To come to the meeting is also pressure. And sitting there is a pressure. Everything is pressure. Then I just shouldn't do anything. Do not exert any pressure on the young people. Oh, pressure. Oh, experiencing Christ is also a kind of pressure. Philip, do not experience Christ, because it's a pressure. Then you tell the saints to live in the Spirit. Oh, that's a pressure. Right? So better don't say anything anymore. We have to be one. Oh, let's not talk about oneness. That's pressure. You said we have to love brothers and sisters. Oh, that's pressure. Don't say we have to love one another. You're pressuring the saints to love one another. Right? Is that a pressure? Yes, it is a pressure. So what? Everything is a pressure. Going to school is a pressure. To obey your parents is a pressure. Now let's just do anything we like. How about that? No pressure. This is what Satan wants us to think. You think being a Christian is just like going to sleep? If you want to live a righteous life, is there no pressure? If you go deceive people, then there is no pressure. If you want to go sin, you want to love the world, who is pressuring you? Who is pressuring you to love the world? What about if I tell you, do not love the world? Oh, you're pressuring me. Leave me alone. Give me liberty. Don't tell the young people not to love the world. It's a pressure. You're talking nonsense. Nonsense. No. Whatever is positive, whatever is the Word of God, whatever is what the living God wants us to do, no matter how hard, the Holy Spirit within us will help us. We have the life of Christ within us. Are you afraid? Pressure? Won't the Father help you out? Don't you have the Holy Spirit within you leading and guiding you to enter in? No? Are you struggling by yourself there? That's why we need to change our concepts. Nico, are you afraid of pressure? Oh, going to Bangkok is so hard. I'm going to eat hot, spicy stuff. Hot weather, humid, I'm sweating. 2 showers a day. I wash my clothes every day. Why do you want to come here? What for? No washing machine. You have to wash by hand. I do that in my room. My underwear, etc., I wash by hand. I have to wash my clothes. Then don't come. There's too much pressure to come here. Why are you here? Because you want to experience life, you want to experience the Lord. You want to have your eyes opened. You want to be educated. There's always pressure in everything. And it is a pressure that will make you grow, that will make you mature in life. You learn to cope with the situation. You learn new things. Sorry, I was speaking in English. It's better than speaking in German. Don't say, Brother John, you're talking about the offerings. Why do you talk about these things? Because if I don't talk about these things, when you go back, the devil will come to you and say, forget about it. It's too difficult. Don't do it. It's good just to hear about it. To gain some knowledge, that's fine. But it's too difficult. Don't do it. So, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Whatever God demands of you, there's a Holy Spirit within you that's guiding you. Whatever is in the Word of God, I want to learn. I want to experience it. I want to know what is God's heart's desire. If I do not have the experience, I will not dare to stand here to help you to enter in. That's why I hope that the brothers and sisters are open to God's word. Now let's look at point B, the offerings. The offerings. This is what we bring to offer up to God. Today we change that song. Lord, you are all the offerings. That song says, prepared by God for us. That's what that song says. That's wrong and wrong again. This song goes to prove that although we have some knowledge concerning the offerings, but they are not accurate. It's not what God prepared for you. Then, in that way, it's God offering you the offerings. That will really be terrible. God wants to give you an offering. God needs to offer up to you. Do you dare to accept it? We even sing it so joyously. Isn't that right? We don't even know what we're singing about. Oh, somebody wrote this song and we just sing. The Bible did not say this. The the offerings are not for God to offer to you, but they are for you to prepare them to offer up to God. You need to change your concept. If you do not change your concept, then there's no way. I don't care whether you agree or not. Now, the Bible tells us, let's take a look at this again, to come worship God. When do we come to worship? First of all, it's at the feasts that we come to worship God. Those are the feasts, the days of the feasts. These feast days have been prepared by God for you. The feasts in the Bible are divided into what? First of all, there's a Passover. The Passover. What is the Passover? It's God who sent his son to die for you on the cross in order to save you. Not only to save you from damnation, but it is also to save you out from the world. Just like in those days where God had to save his people out of Egypt. In the end, when God was going to slay all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, then God told them to kill a lamb and to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And when the angels came by to slay the firstborn, then when they see the blood, they will pass over that household. This is called the Passover. Because every household who has slain the lamb, and where there's the blood of the lamb, the angels will pass over them. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. Oh, for some brothers and sisters, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Actually, this was not an offering, but he was sacrificed for us. It's sacrificed for us. Here, he was slain. Besides, he sacrificed himself for us. So the Passover is Christ coming to be sacrificed for you. But you would be turning in your mind and saying, oh, isn't the Lord Jesus a sin offering? But the sin offering is your experiencing the reality of this sacrificial lamb as your sin offering, and you bring this as an offering to offer up to the Father. That is why the feasts. Come down from God, because the Lord Jesus came down to this earth. There is a Passover, so that you will not forget. So the Lord Jesus said that you have to come to the Lord's table to remember me. On one hand is remembering the Lord. But on the other hand is to eat the lamb. You have to eat the lamb. Because Christ wants to enter into you to become your redemption. It's an inward thing. It's not something outward. And following that, there are 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's for you to eat the unleavened bread. And then as you eat, you have to get rid of the leaven. When you come to eat this bread, do you get rid of the leaven in you? The religious leaven? Your wrong concepts? The leaven of the Pharisees, scribes, and the Sadducees? The leaven of hypocrisy? The leaven of malice? Of the flesh, the lusts, the pride, did you get rid of them? Otherwise, how do you come to keep the feast? When you go home, you're still the same old you. We come many times to eat the bread and drink the cup. How many years have we been doing this? But the old leaven is still there. Is it possible? Brothers and sisters, don't you have leaven within you? You have to get rid of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where we just read, says that we have to purge out the old leaven. This is keeping the feast. You also need to eat the bitter herbs. And you also need to eat the bitter herbs. It's the bitter herbs. It's like medicine. The Chinese herbal medicine is bitter. It's there to heal you, to cure you of your sickness. Have you taken any bitter medicine? When you eat of this bread, do you also take in the bitter medicine to heal you? Otherwise, what do you do when you keep to keep the feast? You just remember that the Lord died for you 2,000 years ago. Is that the remembrance? So when you take the bread into you, does that have any effect on you? So what kind of feast are we keeping? And then the first three feasts are the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then the Feast of the First Fruits, that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead to become a first fruit. You only remember his resurrection. Thank the Lord he rose up on the first, on the third day. Did it swallow up the death that's within you? No? Then what kind of feasts are we keeping here? You keep the small bit of the bread into you and that's it? You only take that into you on the Lord's Day, and from Monday to Saturday you do not eat the Lord? That little piece of bread is to remind you to eat the Lord daily. Because you have to keep the Feast of the Unleavened Bread for 7 days. It's exactly 1 week. If you do not purge the leaven for the whole week, it doesn't work. Then you would say, oh, Brother John, don't give me any pressure. Here comes pressure again. If you're afraid of pressure, why do you come to eat? You think that you, for 1 hour, actually you take the bread into you, it's only a few seconds, right? You think that you take it into you and then you become holy after you swallow it. Have you thought of it that when we take it in, we take Christ in, we have to purge the leaven. You have to detoxify. You need to detox yourself. The Chinese like to say detox. You also have a brother in Penang. You call him Brother Detox. But I don't know whether he has detoxified or not. But I am willing to detoxify myself. The poison of criticizing the brothers. The poison of hating the brothers. The poison of a fallen concept of man. The poison of religious concepts. The Lord warned his disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when you read the Bible, don't try to use your own thoughts to understand the word. You need the light of the Holy Spirit. Don't read here and there and go onto the internet. And you read a lot of things, and you might even be poisoned, and yet you don't even know about it. Chinese language is very meaningful. The word to read is du. And the word poison is also du. They are homonyms. They sound the same, although the characters look different. You have to keep the feast. This feast is what God has prepared for us in Christ. So, if you have a song that says, "Lord, you are all the feasts prepared by God for us," that is correct. I hope that you all can go write a song. Lord, thou art all our feasts prepared by God for us. That is right. And then there's the Pentecost. In Chinese, it's called the seven weeks, because there are seven Sabbaths. That's why it's 49 days. And the 50th day is Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, that was the day that the Lord ascended into the heavens and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And that's for you, the outpouring. It's for the building of the church. That's how it is. So 3 times a year. So we read it in Deuteronomy 3 times a year. But the strange thing is, God did not mention the Passover in Deuteronomy. But he mentioned the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Brother Doha. The Passover and the Unleavened Bread, those two feasts are two aspects of the same that you have to do with them simultaneously. The lamb was slain. But you need to eat the bread. Besides, when you eat, you need to purge the leaven. You eat the lamb for one day. Once it's slain, you eat it on the same day. But for the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, you have to eat it for 7 days. Which is more important? I have to say, which is, relatively speaking, which is more important? I say, "Oh, I thank you, Lord, for dying for me. But you did not purge the leaven from you. And you did not eat of the unleavened bread. And you're still living in your same old self. You did not put off the old man, and you're not willing to put on the new man. Tell me, you've been saved for so long. You say, "Oh, you understand. You understood it. You understand, and you come to break bread. You just understand to break bread. To break bread. And then everyone eats. And what happens after you eat it? Do you think I'm joking here? You ask the Lord. The Lord would ask you, "What do you do when you come to my table? You just come to sing hymns and to thank me that I died for you?" What do you thank me for? You say, I died for you. I died for you. And what's the end result? Did you not read what Paul said? What Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Do you have this condition? Otherwise, you thank the Lord, you say, you die for me, and you go back and live yourself, and then the next Lord's Day, you come again, and just come thank Him for dying for you, and then you leave, and you go live yourself again. The Lord would say, what do you thank me for? Is that the way you remember me? Is this kind of remembrance sufficient? There's still no change after 50 years. And after 30 years, it's still the same old you. And each day you come, each week you come to eat the bread and drink of the cup. Have you ever asked the Lord? That's why you say to come worship. It's okay. I cannot say that you shouldn't say that you come to worship the Lord. But the Lord would also tell you, you better go to worship the Father, but you have to come remember me. Why should you remember me? You have to remember what I did for you. Do not forget it. But you also need to enter into it. You remember it in your mind. But once you take the bread into you, you need to experience it inwardly. You just have it in your mind, in your thoughts, but you do not have the reality within you. So what's the use of the remembrance? In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, he died for us so that he wants, in order to save us from this perverse generation. But you still remain in this present evil age. Has he saved you? Galatians 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. You think to remember him is, oh, you are so tired. Oh, you suffer so much. You suffer so much. Oh, the Chinese like to say, oh, you work so hard. Oh, Brother John, you work so hard. But do you think the Lord Jesus would say, oh, thank you for remembering my labor. I didn't work so hard. Do you think that the Lord would say, thank you for your remembrance? You would even weep that, oh, you died for me. And you even weep. You think that's remembering the Lord? Perhaps it is one kind of remembrance. But the Lord doesn't want you to remember him in that way. The Lord would tell you, the Lord would tell me, John So, do not weep for me. You need to weep for yourself. Do you think that keeping the feast is just that? Just to celebrate the Lord Jesus' death on the cross? If you have not yet touched the reality of the bread and the cup, and you do not experience him daily, when you come before the bread and cup, you are coming empty-handed. If you come empty-handed to remember the Lord, then the Lord Jesus would ask you, You come remember me. Do you have the actual experience in your daily living? If you have it, why didn't you bring it to worship the Father? This bread and this cup is what the Father wants to give to you. After he gave it to you, did you labor on it daily for it to become your reality, so that when you come once again to remember him, then you will bring it along with you? Oh Father, I truly want to come worship you. The reality that Christ has accomplished in me, I bring it to you as an offering to worship you. That is why here are the offerings. They are the offerings that are from us to be offered up to the Father. There's something that comes down from God, and there's also a part that goes up from us to God. Do we have this? The Lord Jesus is a reality. God did not give you an empty thing. God is willing to sacrifice his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sake, on your behalf, to become the unleavened bread for you to eat. He shed his blood to become the cup of blessing for you to drink. And you say, thank you. After you take it, you walk away as if nothing had happened. You come back to eat again the next time. You come back to drink. And then you go home again. And nothing happened again. And you come back again without bringing anything. You just tell the Father, thank you, thank you. And you shed a few drops of tears. Oh, that was so hard for you. Oh, thank you. But you do not have any offering to bring to the Father. And in between us, 7 days. And within those 7 days, you did not purge out any leaven. And you did not overcome sin. You did not live Christ. And you did not enjoy the humanity of Christ. Nothing at all. And then once again, you come to keep the feast. If you were God, how would you feel? I have nothing to say. What do you think, Christian? Pathetic. I don't even dare to say the word pathetic, but you said it, Christian. I don't even dare to use the word pathetic, but I'm glad you used it, because it really hits the mark. You say, tell me, is the Abba Father happy? If I invite you to my house for a meal, at least you will bring some fruits along, right? The Chinese are very polite. I invite you over. Then you have to bring a little present along with you. And when we come before the Father, we didn't even bring a tiny gift with us. You come just eat for free and thank you, and then you go home. You just have some free food, so it's free gift. You keep singing, it's a free gift. A free gift from God. And then you go home. In the end, the offerings are even for you. Then that'll be terrible. I know. If I say things like this, are you happy to hear it? Do you like to hear it? Amen? Do you like to hear this? Am I scolding you here? If I'm scolding you here, then I'm scolding myself. Because all of us need to learn to offer up the offerings. In Fountain Valley, I tell the brothers and sisters to bring the offerings. I have to offer up first. Otherwise, you tell others to offer. That is why the Bible is very significant, very meaningful. 3 times a year, you have to come keep the feast. And the last 3 feasts, Feast of a Trumpet, the Feast of the Atonement, and then a Feast of Tabernacle. These speak of the Lord's coming back. That's why at the breaking of bread, the Lord said, do this till when? Do this until I come. So you do this in preparation for the Lord's coming. The silver trumpet. The meaning of silver signifies redemption. And you blow the trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet is to gather his people. Because God's people like to disperse. They don't like to come together. Do you like to come here? Do you like it? Do you like to look at Brother Lay? When you come here, you see Suravit. Oh, Brother John is here again. Are you happy sitting here? You come and sit. Is there harmony? Peace. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You come here just to meet God and you don't care for the brothers and sisters? Did the Lord Jesus not say in the book of Matthew? You want to bring your offering. When you come to bring an offering, you have to think of your brother. If you have a problem with him, you have to go confess to your brother. So forgive me. I want to remove all my biased opinions about you. At least within your heart, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me. remove all the bias, all the opinions I have concerning the brothers. I don't want them. Because if you have such, I cannot bring offerings. How can I offer up? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Are you hungry? You can go down for a snack. We'll continue in the next session.